Self-evaluation. Important discipline that we should do both as people and as believers. Of course, a good time to do that, a time that we normally do this type of thing, is at the beginning of the year after we've indulged, or in some cases overindulged after the holidays. But also after the summer, I think it's good to ask ourselves, where are we at in Christ? And are we serving Christ? And are we growing in Christ? Are we moving forward in Christ as we should? Some of the things that we've talked about the last few weeks, one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves, am I growing? It's important if we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that we continue to grow. We will never reach maturity until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 teaches us. So are we continuing to grow deeper in Christ? And are we continuing to grow stronger in Him? Last week we spent some time talking about, am I investing in the next generation? You know, I've heard it said, I'm not sure who did, but we're only one generation away from extinction. That can relate to certain animal species, but it also can relate to the church. And there has been, as we studied in Judges, but also as we've seen in statistics, a failure in many cases to invest the gospel in the next generation, to share the light of the gospel with the younger generation. So it's important that we focus upon them. The third question I'd like to ask, and this is the final question in this series of messages, am I a giver? Do I have a giving spirit? Our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, we glorify and praise Your name for the good works that You are doing in our lives. We thank You, God, for the testimony of these young ladies and Jeremy, Lord, from their trip, and we ask, God, Your continued blessing upon them and our lives as well. As, God, we look to the Word of God this morning, we pray in Your holy name that You would guide and direct our thoughts, that You would give words to the speaker, that You give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit is saying. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Two things just about the missions trip. Number one, it's great value, and I encourage you, it will change your life as it has these souls who are up here sharing. It will change your life to go on a missions trip. So if ever there is an opportunity, take advantage of it if you can. And to those who went on the trip, keep alive what God did. I know from personal experience going to camp, being on a high and coming back, and then falling right back into the old way of doing things. Whatever fire God has sparked in your heart, keep it kindled in the name of Jesus. But that's aside from what we're talking about today. Our topic today, are we givers? Are we a giving people? Do we have a giving spirit? God has called us to be people who are giving, and of course, when we think of giving, we think of finances, but it's so much more than that. We'll talk about that this morning, although we will talk about finances. But Scripture teaches us several things about being a giving person. Number one, giving people are loved. God loves, last six words in our text this morning, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves us anyways. But how much more so does He love us when we cheerfully give of ourselves to Him and to others. Scriptures also teach us that giving people are prospered. What you sow, you shall reap. And if you give to God and you give to others, God will give back to you. And there's something about sowing and reaping. What you sow is small. I don't have much. I don't have much money. I don't have much talent. And some of us don't have a whole lot of time, although we all have the same amount of time. But when you sow those things into the kingdom of God, God blesses you, not just with the same back, He pays dividends. But above all, giving people understand, possess, and demonstrate the heart of God, because God is a giver. I've heard it said, and maybe it's overused, but you can't outgive God. But I have found that to be true. That what is the mission of Christ, but one of giving? I think if there's only one scripture that we could have in the Bible, and I'm so thankful for all the scriptures, that there's one scripture that we could have, and if we could only use one, it would be John chapter 3, verse 16. Many, if not all of you, know it. For God so loved the world, let's say it together, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know I quoted King James, and that's NIV, but that's all right. Same sentiment. And there's so much in there, but one of the key things in there is that God gave. That God gave His best. He gave Himself. He gave His only Son. God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, everything He is, He gave for us. Willingness of Christ also mentioned not only of the Father, but of Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. God gave. In fact, you read the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, although all the Gospels contain the things, not only that Jesus said, the things that He did. What did He do? He gave. He gave of Himself. He gave of His time. He gave of His Spirit. He healed and He provided for them. And He gave of His heart. He gave them love, not only on Calvary, although that was the greatest demonstration of His love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But God shared His love with everyone He came in contact with. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious rulers, those individuals that He could not stand what they were doing, pronounced several woes upon them. He loved them. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, all those who came to seek out Christ, still showed them love. And that mission of giving was a mission that Jesus gave to His disciples. Luke 6:38. In talking to His disciples and preparing them for their ministry, give, and it will be given to you. What did Jesus call His disciples both then and now to be? He's called us, if we're followers of Christ, to be givers. Now when we talk about giving, one of the first things we talk about is finances. And that's important. Not something that we harp a whole lot about here, but it's something that we do need to speak of because it is important in the eyes of God. Because what you have and how you handle what you have is important to God. Dave Ramsey, a Christian finance guy, tells us that in Scripture there are over 800 references to finances, many of which are from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And there is a reason why God addresses finances or money in Scripture and to believers. And that's because money is very, very powerful. Several scriptures bear that out. Two from Matthew chapter 6. The first is found in verse 21. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, as far as worship, there's a lot of things that we do when we worship God. We sing, we clap our hands, we shout praises to Jesus. Worship is also stuff that we do as far as helping people out. That should be an act of worship. But worship isn't so much what we do. If worship is to mean anything, it needs to come from our heart. Worship begins in the heart. It's an act that we do on the outside, but it comes from the heart. And the only thing you truly worship in life is what you truly hold in your heart as something that you honor and something that you love and something that you are devoted to. If you're just going through the motions, it doesn't mean anything before God. And what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 is money or treasure. And we'll talk about other things that we can treasure as we continue on in the message this morning. But it's something that can be worshipped. In fact, we demonstrate what we worship by how we spend our resources, our money and our time and other things. In fact, you want to find out what's important to you? You don't have to ask me. You don't have to ask God, although God knows. You don't have to ask your spouse or your children. You just have to look in your checkbook and you'll find out what your priorities are. What you invest, your treasure, and all the aspects of what is valuable in your life, where you put that, is what you worship. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But let me tell you, if you worship especially finances, you will find that finances are a very hard taskmaster. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." If money is your God, you are in for trouble. Because money is something that can rule you. It can become your master. And Scripture says it only leads one place, and that's all kinds of evil. The love of money being the root of all kinds of evil. Be very, very careful. So we need to ask ourselves time to time, am I honoring God with my finances? Am I honoring God with the tithe? Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Some people say when we read Malachi, especially in the aspect of giving and tithing, it's an Old Testament thing, but let me tell you, it's not an archaic practice or an Old Testament practice. Jesus Himself endorsed it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, I'll read the scripture, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. You have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Now, these guys kind of had their life out of balance. Not only were they tithers, they tithed everything. If someone gave them a packet of salt, they tithed that. I hope no one brings me a packet of salt. but I'll take it. Or puts it in the offering. You know what I'm saying? They tithe the most, but they were neglecting the most important things. And Jesus said, you're missing out. But did he despise their giving? No, he didn't. Because he knows when a man or woman honors God with his substance, he's honoring God in his heart. Of course, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. Yes, the Bible teaches that support for the local church should come through tithes, but there's so much more in the body of Christ that needs financial resources. The work of mission. Especially now in our economy, the U.S. dollar is not near what it was worth even several years ago. Our missionaries are having a tough time. They need our prayers. They covet our prayers. They need the faithful giving of believers who caught the vision with them that the world needs Jesus. Jesus himself said, the poor you always have with you, and it was never the goal or plan of the church to ignore the needs of the poor. And so it's important that out of the abundance that God has blessed us with, we bless others. But there are other aspects of giving as well. Other things of value in our lives that are just as precious and must honor God if we're to truly be givers. The first of which is time. How many have ever heard the term time is money? And as I mentioned before, it seems like some of us have more time than others, but basically we all have the same amount of time as everyone else. We all have 24 hours a day. And how we use that time and how we divide that time will determine, you know, how well it's used. Time, just like money, can easily be wasted. Then, of course, there's not just time, and time is something of great value, and time must be invested in the kingdom of God. And when we talk about giving, we're not only giving to God, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, but also love our neighbor as ourselves. As a church, we are God's representatives. So we've been called not only to give to Christ, but to give to the world. And that not only means our finances, you know, helping a brother or sister up or someone doesn't, you know, someone who needs to know Christ going through a tough time, helping them up financially, but helping them by investing our time. Spending time, what time? I don't have time. Well, what do you do have time for? I just look at my own life. There have been opportunities where I thought I just didn't have the time. And then later the Holy Spirit convicted me. You did have the time. You just chose to use it on something else. Not as important, like people, as well as God. And then, of course, there's our talents, what we've been blessed with. And everyone has a talent. And your talents aren't just for something, are something for you to use. They're things that God has given you to invest for His kingdom and for His glory. But the third thing is something that, these are tangible things that we've talked about, but the third thing is intangible. Something that if you know Jesus, all of us have received, and all of us have received an equal amount. You know, it's funny, you know, we all don't have the same bank account. We all don't have the same gifts and talents. Don't ask me to play the guitar or dance or sing or that type of thing. We all don't have this, you know, some of us have more demands on our time than other people. But this one thing, we all have the same. If we know Jesus. Going back, referring to our text, let's look at or the scripture I referred to just a few moments ago from Luke chapter 6. Let's look at that in context. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and it will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, a lot of times when we read that scripture, give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your bosom. When we read those scriptures, we think of finances. But in context, what is this saying? It's talking about another thing of either of even greater wealth than what's in our wallets, or the time that we've been given, or the talent. And that is the riches of His grace, which is extending love, forgiveness, and mercy. All those wonderful things that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything of greater value than those things? And those are things, above all things, that we need to be givers of in our life. Now, why don't we give? Well, there's several reasons. Number one is cynicism. And it's unfortunate, but there are several so-called ministers who use the pulpit or use their place in ministry as a platform or tool, rather, to exploit people for their money. Now, let me say this. They are few and far between. Most ministries and most ministers are not people driving around in Learjets who live in lavish homes, many homes, not just one, and who just live an ungodly lifestyle. Now, am I saying you have a nice house or a nice car is ungodly? No, I'm not saying that at all. But the heap upon yourself, gobs and gobs of money and possessions and things while people are starving and dying is a sin and it's a shame. And so much more could be done for the kingdom of God. And let me just say, and if you're upset over those things, you have a right to be upset over those things. But the downside of that is it can make us cynical against everything. Any minister, any deserving ministry or church regarding the kingdom of God, because people think it's all, they just want your money. In fact, Matt, if you want to scribble these down, this is kind of that slide I asked you to put on there. There are three websites, just to take a minute, three websites here that you can check as far as a national ministry to see whether they are good stewards with their monies. Check out whom you give to. I encourage you to do that. Because there are a lot of people who are just in it for the money. I'm on the mailing list of someone who was actually in prison. And was in prison for being a charlatan. And he's back out and he's doing the same thing over and over again. And it just breaks my heart. But cynicism. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there are those who are lovers of money. Secondly, greed. And greed is an unwillingness to give what you've been blessed to other people because you want to keep it for yourself. Of course, when we think of greed, we think of finances, but it's more than just finances. We can be greedy with my time. I want my time for myself. I don't want to give my time for other people or my talents or the riches of His grace. You know, I don't think we think of greed in this fashion, but is not the love and the forgiveness of God of great value? And are we, when we refuse to extend love, forgiveness, and grace to other people, whether they're in the church or whether they're without the church? It doesn't matter. They're human beings whom God wants to love, and God wants them to see Christ in you. If we don't extend the the immeasurable love and forgiveness that we have received from God. You know, we've received so much and it's done so much for us. Are we not guilty of being greedy in a spiritual sense? God help us. Fear is another thing that keeps us from being givers. I can't tithe. I can't give to a missions project because I may not have enough. I can't give my time because I don't think I'll have enough time. Or sometimes it's a matter of fear of failure. You know, I'd like to do, but I'm afraid of falling. What a horrible enemy fear is to the believer. It keeps us from so much. And of course, when we are givers, God gives back. We're keeping ourselves from so much that more that God wants to do in our lives. Then there's apathy, or some may call laziness. And I hate to say it, but there's some people in the body of Christ. And their world is so small, all they are is focused upon themselves. And they may not say it, but in their heart is a feeling that as long as my needs are met, I'm okay. At church, as long as everything's suited for me, then I don't care. And as far as everybody else, they're on their own. We'll meet in God's house. As far as giving to God, yes, it relates to giving, but it also relates to service. To investing our time, to investing our talents in other people for God's kingdom, for the glory of God. Because if we're not doing what God, and I'm not trying to tell people what they should be doing in the church, but I am telling people to ask God what you should be giving to our church body if this is your church. Because if you're not, then there's not meat in the Father's house. We're not ministering as we could and should be ministering. There's an empty chair. There's an empty position somewhere that's not being filled. There are lives that are not receiving what God has for them. And let me tell you, it's one reason that those few people who not only are faithful in serving, but who take on so much more end up being burned out for the kingdom of God. One of my greatest fears, every pastor loves a worker. And you know, who does this and that and this. And you know, they're the type of person, because they have such a giving heart, they don't know when to stop. And so when they have a need, they take it upon themselves. But I'm fearful for them. And only they know their limits. Well, of course, God knows. Because they can push themselves to the point of exhaustion or burnout. You know, trying to keep everything going at the church, their family suffers, or their health suffers, or their own spirit suffers. And let me tell you, you cannot be an effective minister to other people unless you're ministering regularly to God and receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be taken in to give out. Fifthly, bitterness. And this relates, the next two kind of go together. We're bitter, and it's so easy that we can become bitter against things or people. We get wounded. Anger or bitterness keeps us from extending mercy, forgiveness, love to other people. And you know what happens when you let bitterness come in? You know, someone does something and you refuse to extend them forgiveness or refuse to help them out. You know, they'll go their way, I'll go my way. Is that it affects every relationship. If you don't keep bitterness in check, you'll not only, or an unforgiveness in your heart, you'll not only have a problem and a separation with that one person, which is anathema to God. God has called us to be in unity. But it will grow and flow out to other people. And eventually you'll be mad at the world. What a terrible place to be. Lastly, hindrance to a giving spirit is that of jealousy, being envious at what others have. And sometimes we can just get angry. We can see somebody, oh, they've got a nice car, a nice home. They've got a wonderful family. They've got a great job. They're doing this in the church or that in the church. They've got these wonderful talents. In some way, sometimes that can make us feel worse about ourselves than we are. And let me tell you, you are more than just your bank account and those types of things. Those don't mean much in the eyes of God. Another message for another time. But those things, if we're not careful, we can become bitter and jealous of other people. And it can move us to the point, one of the manifestations of jealousy is refusing to be a giving person. Let them do it. I'm not going to do it. Not until God blesses me like He's blessing them. How do we, and gentlemen, if you would come, asking ourselves, am I a giver? Do I have a giving heart? A couple of things that we've mentioned prior. Number one, remember that God is a giver. And not only is He a giver, He has given to us. Amen? And not only has God given us His life, and in doing so, given us life as well. God has given us everything. You know, we like to think, oh, you know, because of my hard work, I've gotten where I am. I've gotten the bank account that I've got. Because I'm really smart, I've done this. Or because my parents did thus and so. Or because I have a good job, my job takes care of me. Because, you know, the government has this program and that program, I'm taken care of. Let me tell you, the only reason you have anything that you have today, including the soundness of your mind, is because the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. Everything that we have is from God. And all God asks is that we give a portion back to Him. Our time, our talent, our tithe, and our hearts, our love and our grace. I'd like to ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes. Two questions I'm going to ask this morning. First thing I want to say is, let me say this, before God wants your money, God wants you. It's not a matter of, oh, I'll be a blessed person if I throw God some dollars. Or if I volunteer for this, that's not what it's all about. We don't live by works. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are under the impression that if I give, God will love me. And God loves you anyways. And the primary thing He's concerned with in your life is you. And the first thing that He wants you to give Him is you, your life, your heart. And without that, nothing else matters. Nothing else means anything to God. And so this morning, before we close and sing our song of worship, is there anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus? Let me tell you, just this, those other things that I mentioned, when you give to God, He gives you back so much more. When you give your life to Jesus, God gives you back a life that will be so much more than the life that you have now. It's so much more free. It's so much more full of joy. You're forgiven of sins, so you're set free from guilt and all the garbage that you had before you came to Christ, and all the garbage that comes along with living against God's word. You have a hope in a future now, here today, but also in eternity. And all God asks is that you give Him your life. It doesn't seem like a big thing. It is a big thing, but it's an easy thing to do. If you'd like to accept Christ into your life now, you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never experienced His forgiveness, His love in your life, and you'd like to. I'd like to ask you to raise your hand, and I'd like to pray with you this morning. I'm just going to wait a few moments. Praise God. Secondly, I'm not going to ask people to make a commitment of time, or I'm not going to take an offering in closing. Anything of that nature. But I'd like everyone to stand. And as we worship, let's ask the Lord today, in the light of His Word, in the light of His Holy Spirit, let's ask the Lord, God, do I have a giving spirit? Because I can't tell you, I can't look at your life. That really would be judging. Because I don't know what your situation, I don't know what all your talents are. Sure, I can make a judgment, but I've found more often than not my judgments are wrong. But there's someone who judges righteous and true, and that's Jesus. And He'll be honest with you, but honest in a loving way. And if you haven't been a giver, or you know, giving to God and giving to others is something that has waned in your life, He'll let you know in a loving way, and He'll spur on that giving spirit in your heart. In the name of Jesus. And in this season of self-evaluation, if God says, well, Randy, you haven't been given the way you should, you haven't been given of your time, your effort, your heart, your love, your finances as you should. Don't just say, okay, God, I will. Ask God to give you that giving heart, because that's the heart of God. It's a heart of giving. So let's ask ourselves as we worship this morning in the name of Jesus, gentlemen, if you'd lead us.
Take these hands.